Good morning. From the Lord who walks with us and talks with us, from the Lord who lifts us up, the Lord who loves us in our joys and in our sorrows, and reminds us that we are never, ever, ever separated from His love through that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is in His name this morning that I say welcome to this place of worship, this place I hope that you all feel is home. And if it's not home for you, if you are visiting, number one, we are very, very glad you're here, and expect that there will be others who will greet you as the service goes on or afterwards. But if you are a familiar face and you have not thought about becoming part of this community of faith, I want to tell you, we're in a big boat, and it's a really good big boat. And so if you are thinking about calling a community of faith home, I encourage you to speak with me about that and learn what it means to be not only a disciple of Christ, but what it means to be a member of Eastminster Presbyterian Church. So I remind you, fill out the pew pads. Let us know of your attendance so that we can celebrate that. I'm going to ask Anne if you will come forward, and she has an announcement about our shoe drive.
Just wanted to let y'all know next week is August 6th, and that's the big day for the Payless shoe drive. It's all coming to fruition. Bruce just gave me the news that we are very close on reaching our goal. And even if we do reach it, there might be a few added to our roster. But thank y'all for the generous donations. When we went to Wilkinson yesterday to pick up the roster for Darlene, we saw a lot of the people in line that we will be serving. And there's such a need. I don't think at times we close our eyes or put the blinders on to the true need in our community. But if everybody just looks around, thank each other, because this small church gives so much to the community. I just don't think you realize it. We see it a lot every Saturday. But if you just venture out over the bridge and you drop by Wilkinson, you're going to see a lot there. And there's so much that we can be doing, but I'll stop for now and say thank you to the volunteers who are going to be coming. There will be lunch after church for the volunteers before we head on. Darlene can give us our assignments. It makes it easier. But thank you again. Oh, yes, put it in the big shoe.
Oh, big shoe.
The big shoe. If you don't have it in an envelope, mark it for Payless.
Okay. $30?
Thank you. $30. You can give more. You can give more. Yes, and you can give less. They're socks, too.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Anne. The other announcements are listed in your bulletin. If you'll take a moment to look at those, there will be a very brief meeting for the Christmas Village, just kind of our first look at where we are headed with Christmas Village this year. So if you could just gather probably in the fellowship hall for just a little bit, that would be wonderful. August 13th. I just want to keep reminding you of the different schedule, the different location. Keep reminding everyone that you see that things are going to be shaken up just a little bit and that we would really love to have them come and to be part of that. The other announcements are listed there. I'll let you take a look. Our prayer lists this morning. Evelyn is listed as the liturgist for this morning, but I got a text from her. She is having back spasms this morning, and so we want to keep her in our prayers. Johnny's nephew, Brian, who lives in the state of Washington, is experiencing some health issues, and we want to keep Brian in our prayers. Laura Bennett had surgery and is on the mend and recovering from that. We have Blair sitting in the sanctuary with us this morning, who is on the mend. Chandra, Carlin, we've had a lot of people sort of taking up space in hospital beds lately, and so we'd rather you be taking up space in the pews for sure, but it's good to have you back also. Yes. Thank you. For Christmas Village, meet in the conference room. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, Christmas Village, just meet down here in the conference room. Thank you, thank you. Another prayer request just this morning. Alice Brooks' friend, Ron Baker, she's known him for about 40 years, and he is on his way back to the hospital, is having issues with blood platelets, and so Alice asks that we keep Ron Baker in our prayers. On a guessing hallelujah, we learned last week that Melody has been promoted to Dean of Academics for her school. And so, Melody, we are grateful, thankful, and rejoice that someone recognizes your gifts and your talents. And not to do less for Bill, he has been promoted to Melody's assistant. So, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, even with all of our travelings, our comings, and our goings. This is that place, this is that boat where we can come back and when we can be in sanctuary in the presence of the Lord. And I pray this morning that it is a calm and joyful place to be. As we prepare to worship, I ask you to pray with me.
Give us the eyes to see the simple, yet extraordinary things of the world. Risen Christ, and help us to be examples of that to one another. Hear our prayer. Thank you.
And just one more thing I failed to mention. Not only will the river be singing this morning, but River and Friends will be singing this morning. And we will enjoy the message through song with them. But today, we gather to worship our God. Gather to follow Jesus. And we gather to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I think particularly as people of faith and perhaps people who are not of faith, one of our deepest longings that we have is to be forgiven. And especially to be forgiven by God, embraced by those hands that lovingly hold us all of the time. And so each week we come and we confess together, and in response, God speaks a word of peace to us. God comes to us, God gives us this time to be made whole again. And so together as a community of faith, we join our voices confessing and then being reminded that nothing in life or death will separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together. In truth, God's
we know the truth to be Christ is the one who calls us out of the storms of life and says to us, "It is I, do not be afraid." Trust that God is calling you even when you can't hear God's voice. Trust that God loves you even when you feel like you are not lovable. Trust that you are forgiven even those times when we feel like we do not deserve it. God loves us so much that God sent his only Son into this world that we might know the depth of that love that we humans do not have, but we desire. Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. As we prepare to hear the word of the Lord this morning, you will notice that there is a common theme that runs through both of these scriptures, both of them about the Lord lifting us out sometimes from a pit that is too deep for us to crawl out of ourselves, and quite often from the seas and the waves and the storms of the ocean. So as we prepare to hear God's word of grace and love to us, let us pray. By the power of your Spirit, help us to obey your commandments through your holy word, and God, to please you in our intentions and in our actions. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson is from the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter, verses 1 through 28, with some skipping a little bit in there. This is a story of old-fashioned sibling rivalry. It is a story that moves from murderous intent to economic gain as Joseph's brothers fall into or help him to fall into slavery. The hand of the Lord lifts him up. Listen. Jacob settled in a land where his father had lived as an alien, in the land of Canaan. Now this is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was herding the sheep with his brothers. He was a helper of the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to them about them to their father. And now Israel, meaning Jacob, loved Joseph more than the others of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. And so when his brothers saw this, that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated Joseph, and they couldn't speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture his father's flock near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are you not with your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them." And he answered, "Here I am." And so he said to them, "Go now and see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and then bring back that word to me." And we know, in the meantime, what happens. Joseph goes, he seeks his brothers. His brothers are still not happy with him. And they decide that just perhaps he needs to be killed. We know the hand of the Lord lifts out that thought, that Reuben says, "Let's not kill him. He is our brother. He is of our flesh." So instead, they throw him into the pit. They shed no blood. And then they leave him there. And picking up in verse 23. "So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with the sleeves that he wore. They took him, they threw him in a pit. The pit was empty, it didn't have even water in it. And they sat down to eat, and looking out, they saw camels carrying gum and balm and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is it if we kill our brother and try to conceal the blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and lay our hands on him, for he's the brother of our own flesh.' They agreed. And as the Midianite travelers passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt." This is the end of the Old Testament lesson.
Thank you.
lifting continues. Our gospel lesson is from Matthew's gospel, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, if you are following in your pew Bible. Immediately he, meaning Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and to go ahead onto the other side while he dismissed the crowds. They had just fed the 5,000. Jesus had also just heard that his cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded. It's a good time for Jesus to dismiss the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward the disciples on the sea. And when they saw him, they were terrified, and they started saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to this water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat. He started walking on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The grass withers, the flowers fade, but this is the word of our Lord lasts.
I'm
knowing the impulsive nature or character of Peter, it's no surprise to us, I think, that he is the first one that jumps ship. He is the one who second guesses that decision. And when he does, his name, the rock, has him do exactly what you would think a rock would do. It has him going down. Peter may have been afraid of drowning. I think we all would have been. But I think even more so, he is fearful of that abyss, that sea where in Scripture and in biblical times, it's believed that the demons of the world live and stir up those waters and keep things in trouble. Every time Peter stumbles, I think, to try to prove himself, for instance, "Oh no, Lord, I would never, ever deny you." I think every time he does that, Jesus says, "Come. Come." Peter's a risk taker. He is a faith leaper. He is a water walker like so many, I think, of the water walkers that came before him. For example, Abraham, a tired old man, once childless, now has children that God has promised will go into as many as the stars. He becomes the father of a great nation. From the belly of a basket to a murderer on the run to a man that God gives the commandments to, God says, "Moses, you go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." David, the youngest, the smallest, the smelliest shepherd boy in a line of long brothers. They're strong and they're courageous. It's David that KOs that giant of a man and becomes a king of a mighty nation. And then this morning, as we read Joseph's story, he's that kid with the colorful coat. He is known as a dreamer. He is rescued by that passing caravan of camels. And Joseph listens to the Lord. And what could have been a famine in Egypt becomes a feast. On and on and on are the great stories of our faith. All of them, risk takers, faith leapers, water walkers, people, if you will, who are comfortable getting out of the boat. Yes, they are. But is it more important to God that we do the task of getting out of the boat? Or is it more important to God that we trust that if we do that task, the Lord's faithfulness to us will not falter? We hear our Lord say to us always, "Come." It's that trust, the trust that the Lord seeks from us, lest we begin to believe, I think, more in our abilities than God's provision for our life. I truly believe that God is continually, constantly calling you and calling me to do something remarkable, whatever our age, whatever our status in life. Just ask Abraham, ask Sarah, ask Moses, ask Miriam, ask Joseph. But the truth of the matter is God doesn't need our ability. God doesn't need our good looks. God doesn't need our intelligence. God doesn't need our wisdom. God does not need our money. God does not even need our ideas. But if we've been gifted with those things, God sure can use them. But God does not need them. What God really needs is faith. Faith That whether we get out of the boat, whether we use our gifts, faith, that we turn them over to God and trust what God is doing with them. Trust that God can do in us and through us greater than we ever imagined possible. Our faithfulness calls us to remember that even beyond our circumstances out there, as well as our deficiencies within us, that God's faith and the love of Jesus Christ is greater than all of that. What if Peter had made his way all the way to Jesus without any help? Do you think it would have been easy for him to take credit for that? Look at my ability. Look how strong a swimmer I am. It is I who did this. And how easy I think it would have been for the world to say, wow, did you hear about that man, Peter? He walked on water. When Jesus calls us to walk on water, he doesn't call us to do that alone. If he did, it would be about me. It would be about I. The self then becomes the focus of faith. And then we have to remember, our faith is fickle. God's in Jesus Christ is not. And while I can say, oh no, Lord, I would never take credit for anything, I'm going to tell you, when ministries are going well, I'm tempted. I'm like everyone else. If I don't do this, then it's not going to get done. Because me, I'm a water walker. If I stop doing X, Y, and Z, oh my goodness, everything is going to fall apart because I am a risk taker. And here, Lord, let me jump ship so you can see how great a faith builder I am. Me, me, me. It's really, really important that we know and we study the stories of Scripture, lest we forget two very, very important truths. Number one, all of life is about our relationship with our Creator, our Redeemer, Sustainer. And number two, in that life, we are not alone. We have been called to be in community one with another. There is no I in faith. No doubt Jesus wants us to take risk. Jesus wants us to be bold. He wants to be courageous and maybe even outrageous sometimes. God wants us to step out for the sake of bringing the gospel to those who are broken in their relationship with God. But what if Jesus, through Peter, is also telling us that staying in the boat is risky business. Staying in the boat is risky business too. When you look at all of Matthew's gospel, you read from the beginning to the end, what you discover is that Matthew is a book about community. Matthew is constantly reminding us that we belong in a community of faith. And when the church is likened to a boat, which it often is, when it is, then there are so many times, I think, when it's much easier for us to sort of fling our legs over the side of the railing, sort of half committed to stay in, half committed to jump ship. You and I know that being church is no picnic. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is not always a fun fishing trip. The world's a messy place. But in the midst of that mess, is Jesus standing right there saying, come. Come. Peter and Jesus didn't stay on the water. They came back to the boat. If we have ears to hear, is Jesus telling us that risk-taking, that faith-leaping, that water-walking is an essential part of our faith? Absolutely. But so also is returning to, remaining in, and rejoicing in a community of faith that reminds us that it is our trust in the Lord, not the task that Jesus cares most about, lest we begin to believe that our abilities are greater than God's potential in us. If we have ears to hear, is the Spirit reminding us that as the body of Christ, as this vessel, this boat-like ship on the sea, that we are a people called together, together and together for the sake of the gospel, where we have this place where we can pull all of our abilities, where we can pull our strengths, where we can pull our resources in order that those who might be on the outside who are too afraid to step out into the water, who are too afraid to step into the boat because they trust more in themselves than they do in the Lord. If they're too afraid to step into the boat, how are they going to learn about this wonderful promise of eternal life that we find in this place that we call church, where God's people together are stronger than the wiles of the world when we are apart? I think it's no doubt that Christian churches all around the world are coming face to face with the reality that gathering together in worship is just not important. And more than just us counting backsides on the pews, and I do think that God is sad, and I think that God grieves when we don't have our backsides in the pews. But I think as much as even that, people are losing their heart for worship. It's not just about being in attendance or not being in attendance. It is about losing our heart to be gathered as a community of faith. There's no doubt that it is a good thing, it is a faithful thing that we carry acts of kindness and compassion out into the world. We've been given that mandate to feed and to clothe and to care for and to visit, but that's just part of discipleship. We were created to be a community that gives thanksgiving to our triune God. We are a people created to come together from north, from south, from east to west, to pull together the gifts, the resources, the talents, and be here listening to that one spirit that unites each and every one of us in the belief that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. When we do that together, we have strength. And we have the strength that we need when we go out and the waters of the world try to swallow us up. If you are the Lord, then come, let me come to you in the water. I love this commentary about this commentator who says this is actually what he believes that conditional if means. There are only a couple of other times in the whole of the gospel when someone addresses Jesus with an if, and it's not pretty. The devil does it 3 times. When he tempts Jesus in the desert, if you are the Son of God, turn this bread, this stone into bread. If you are the Son of God, call down special privileges. If you are the Son of God, worship me. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, people mock him, calling out, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And here Peter, beautiful Peter, joins in his voice. If it is you, Jesus, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, it is I. If you go back and if you look at the original language in this, Jesus actually says, I am. I am. That says it all. I am your Lord, and you are my people. You're not my people because, Abraham, you stepped out in faith. You're not my people, Moses, because you walked through the waters. You're not my people because, Peter, you walked on water. You are my people because I created you to be in relationship with me and with one another. Our faith is not a private matter. It doesn't benefit only my relationship with the Lord. It doesn't benefit just your relationship with the Lord. Our faith, like the whole of God's story, and especially the story of faith in Jesus Christ, is about the healing and the wholeness of all of God's creation and all of God's creatures. You and I are in this big thing we call the boat together. And thanks be to God and Jesus Christ. When we are called to step out of it, Jesus says, come. And then the Lord says, let's get back in the boat. Come on, let's get back in the boat. Let's catch our breath. Let's calm our fears. And let's say thank you. Thank you because Jesus is more than the one who says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Jesus is the one who does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He reaches out his hand and saves us. The Lord who walks on water, who directs the winds and the waves, walks with us through all of life, walks with us in death, and then promises that he is going to meet us on the other side of the shore in this place that we call eternity. That, folks, we can't do by ourselves or for ourselves. Jesus says, come. Come take a breath together. Come rest together. Come be revitalized together. And then I'll send you back out. But I'm with you. Let's pray. Lord of sea and sky, God of hope, thank you for lifting us time and again from the sinking waters of sin, and thank you for gathering us back in the boat where we can share the stories of your saving hand, where we can pray for and with one another, where we can draw the collective courage from your one Spirit that we might get out of the boat when called, inviting others to reach out to you and bring them back. May you hear and may you be pleased with all of the alleluias of our hearts. Amen. I'm going to invite us to stand to say what we believe. Say it from the heart, not just with the lips this morning. Let's join together.
We believe in God.
This morning we come with joys, we come with sorrows, we come with our faithfulness, we come with our doubt, we come with our fears, and we come with our calm. All of us in the same boat, feeling many different things, but going to the one Lord who hears us all. I am going to invite you to simply reach out to someone who is next to you and hold hands. And as you do, remember this as we go into prayer. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. The hand of the Lord is between you. Let us pray. God of the depths of the sea as well as the heavens and earth, hear your people's cry to be present not only in our individual lives, not only in this community of faith, but Lord, in your world. Awaken us to that Spirit's power and to your ever willingness to save us when we call to you from the chaos of our lives. Even as Jesus heard and saved his friends when they floundered in that storm. You are our God, our Savior. You are the one who will keep us able to face tomorrow's storm. We are grateful, we are thankful for this big boat that we call Eastminster. We are grateful for the hand that we hold this morning, knowing that our hands are in your hands and that it is you, Lord, who pulls us up, who lifts us when we most need to be reminded that we can't go this world alone. For those, God, that we have mentioned this morning with Laura and Brian and Blair and Evelyn and Chandra, we ask your continuing hand upon them, and we are grateful, God, that your healing hand has been upon them. We celebrate with Melody and with Bill, and I pray, God, that in this year to come, that Melody will not only follow in the footsteps of what she needs to do academically, but she will follow in your footsteps to be your example. For this and for all of life, we praise you, and we do that through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who owe us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
with our lips, with our lives, with our treasures, with our resources, it is faithful and it is good that we proclaim one with another the life of Jesus Christ in our midst. And so may what we offer this morning by way of thank you to God bring about love and life and hope and a healing presence to all who need to be lifted from the depths of sin and know the depth of God's love in Jesus Christ. Let us receive God's tithes and our offerings.
May all our
And may we do just that. May we offer our thanksgiving by way of prayer.
Most loving God, Creator of all creation, for you, your children, and the Son, Lord, touch us with that word and word of your word. May our hearts be free from sin, and help us to obey, because it's our family, and it's our song. But dare to save our gospel, give the Lord one humble commitment, the next steps to which our hearts are lost. In his name, and to your grace, and in your spirit, amen.
I think because Jesus knows how tiring it can be to get out of the boat, he says to us today, come back and sit for a while. Come back and catch your breath. Come back and let your fears be calmed. Come back and say thank you. And then we'll get back out again. And together, we will walk the waters of life. Every time Jesus says, come, we have the reminder that the Lord is before us, that the Lord is behind us, that the Lord is above us, the Lord is within us, the Lord is beneath us, the Lord is surrounding us at all times, saying, come. May we go, and may we come back. Amen.